Welcome to the Child Whisper podcast. I'm your host, Carol Tuttle, author of the best-selling parenting book, The Child Whisper. I'm with my co-host, Ann Tuttle Brown. We're recording this podcast during the year 2020 when we've been dealing with a pandemic, and we're entering our school year, and it looks different for everyone here in the United States. We've got children that are going back into the classroom, yet they have restrictions and guidelines with masks and just class loads and numbers of students in their rooms. We've got at-home learning options where some students are doing both. They're in the classroom, they're at home. We've got more parents doing homeschooling than ever before. And so today we're going to talk about your type 1 and your type 2 children and how you can better support them in their at-home learning experience, whether or not you are really dedicated homeschooler or you are just moving through this phase and having to do more learning at home and supporting your children. Wherever you're at, we trust you're doing what's correct for you, and we know these tips will be a great help to you. And pay attention as well, because if you're a type 1 or a type 2 parent, I know you're going to get some insights as well for yourself. And I'm so thrilled to have both my daughters join me. Anne, who is my co-host here on the Child Whisper podcast, is joining in. Her daughter is going back into the classroom. And then my oldest daughter, who is a type 1, Jennifer, is the mother of four boys. They have all four types in their family in that sequence, oldest down to youngest, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jenny made a decision that it was correct for her boys to have a homeschooling experience and to bring their learning and education into the home. And that was the year before she started that in 2019, which really then helped her learn a lot and prepare for a situation now where that's being required of a lot of parents. So she'll have a lot of great insights for us.
And first, I want to preface this conversation that there is so much information when it comes to homeschool, different curriculums, different tips for the mom on how to approach. And so we are speaking just solely to the types of the child, and you can add this to what you're learning. To
me, it's foundational.
Yeah, and I think it's a great lens to look through as you're sorting through the different curriculums and the different approaches, that this will really support you in moving forward and give you really a head start in this approach. So like you said, type one is the fun, loving, social child. They have an upward light movement. So you got to remember that. You got to keep it light and fun. Think, how can I make this a game? Like making up songs to remember stuff. Jenny, I know you've actually... We were, Marco, on a video chat, and you were sharing some songs that you've made up to help your kids remember. So just in your own type one nature, that was something that you were drawn to. And I love that approach. So do you want to speak a little bit to that about making it a game and or making
it like just fun? Speaking to the what something that mom said, and then I'll speak more specifically about type one, just the fact that the kids will bring their movement naturally to the home. And it's just, that's so true. I see that so distinctly in each one of my kids, that they each move about the day in their own style, their own way. And this morning with Teddy, I love for my kids to get their, what we call first things done by themselves and independently. And we're not there yet. Like my 13-year-old is, thankfully, showering and brushing his teeth and doing all those things on his own, because I've worked to train him in that. But my youngest, Teddy, he wants me to be by his side. And just thinking about how when I like doing things as a group, like that's something that I really enjoy, just being a part of a team. And so I realized today, it's okay. I need to take the time. Not only is he five and he needs that extra support, but he probably just wants to not be by himself. And so he just said, Mom, can you go turn on the water and grab my clothes? And I've been kind of working all summer to be like, no, just do it yourself, do it yourself. And I'm like, no, that's okay, I can do those things to support you, you know.
Yeah, he likes that social interaction.
He likes talking to you while you're doing it.
Yeah, and just knowing,
showing you things, pointing things out, you know.
Yeah, and it's just more fun, right, with people. And so with him making things, like you said, a together experience and more of a game, definitely just gets him excited about.
And he's kindergarten, correct?
That's right.
So he's kind of formally, he's been incorporated into your homeschooling experience, yet now he's moving into kind of the official first year of school.
Yes.
Is he excited about that?
He's really excited. He really wanted to get on the bus and go to kindergarten. And so it was kind of a sad thing. And I was going to actually put him in kindergarten this year just for that experience. And then just
That's because when your boys were in, he saw his brothers getting on the bus every day. So
yes,
that was something he was looking forward to.
Would love that. And so, but that's not going to be his experience. So I'm just trusting that there's the experience that is ahead is going to be good for him and a good match for him, even though it's not what I went to kindergarten. I loved it, you know, so it's been something that I've had to personally mourn a little bit.
And I think there's been a lot of that. Many things to mourn in 2020. It's like, oh, okay.
Because in Colorado, the schools aren't open. They didn't have classroom option, correct?
No, they do. So they did. They're starting online for the first 2 weeks, and then they are doing the plan is to go into the classroom. So which would be great. But since we are homeschooling, it's nice to, with my older kids, I just opted to keep them all integrated in the homeschool
way. So remember, if a child is, I think there's another, keep it light. That always doesn't look like everything's playful in games. They need, you know, as you know, Jenny, they need structure and they need to follow through and they need to learn to be responsible for their learning and assignments and that. If it's not, how can you help a type 1 child kind of break up? What's their learning look like that might be different than a type 4 that really thrives on sitting still in a focused, structured environment?
Emma, more of a track.
Yeah, like, more of a track. Mm-hmm. Do you have shorter period? You know, do you?
I would say
a little more movement in their learning style.
Something to look forward to. So you say, okay, we're going to do making everything fun, but I try to do that already because that's just my personality, but just trying to make whatever material I get really interesting for them, and then just encouraging them through it and having maybe like a work fun type routine for my type 1 and 3. But whereas my type 4 is like, I just want to get my work done and then I'll have some fun, if that makes sense. So mixing it up a little bit more.
Bring it to, you know, like just lock in, zone in, get it done. Mm-hmm. Okay, so mixing it up and then noticing when they're feeling stressed. Stress in a child is a sign of either, it could be sleep, lack of sleep, diet, or the environment's not supportive to their true nature. And a mm-hmm. good word to remind yourself as a parent of a type 1 child is, is this light enough in it, the approach we're taking?
I would even say, how can I lighten up? Ask yourself as a parent, because like I know sometimes I'm just like, just get it done. Like, I've told you what to do, just do it. But it's like, okay, how can I make this more fun, more inactive? How can I be a little more silly? Mm-hmm. And when I can make that switch and lighten up, the response is so much better. Mm-hmm. And so ask yourself.
Child too.
Yeah.
What feels heavy to you?
Or you could even say, how can we make this more fun for you?
Yeah.
Well, and there's like to draw on what Mom said about every child needs to learn and there needs to be structure. And so something I try to teach and then we try to implement as a family is there's a time and season for everything. And so sitting down and practicing their piano may not be one of my child's favorite things, and it might be someone else's favorite thing. But right, so they all have the things they dread and the things they don't mind. But if it's a priority for your family for them to do whatever it is you expect your child to do that day, you just talk them through it. You just talk about how, you know, little by little it'll lead to good things. It might be hard right now, but it'll be okay. And so you can just lend some support in those areas, even if they are kind of fighting back. So there's time for that, where you just say, it's time to do your piano, and then we'll get up and we're going to go have a popsicle, or then we'll go outside and jump on the scooters. So there's that type of thing. And then there's times where you are, maybe you picked a curriculum, or there's a particular class, or it is piano, and you're like, this is too much for them and it's too much for me. And you just take it off your plate. So you have to be discerning as the parent to know what you're going to work through, kind of like pick your battles, you know, and they're going to be okay. They'll get through it. It'll get easier. And we're going to just walk away from that. So I don't know if that's helpful.
Those are great tips. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's really good.
Always good reminders. And thank you. So one more tip before we move to type two is in line with the social aspect, the fun loving movement that type one children have, is creating, having a learning buddy. Because so in your case, Jenny, you have one type one in the house. He's the youngest. He's going to be doing his own curriculum that could look a little bit lonely solo. Mm-hmm. But you said, and you can share this story, that he's had set up some stuffed animals and read to them, or maybe have an older sibling come over and help. So it's not always on you as the parent to have to be that buddy to them. You have any examples?
Yeah, we had him one time where he wasn't getting the social interaction with his peers at the beginning of the shutdown of schools, because my kids, although they were homeschooled, they still had activities that they would attend and sports, and he was in preschool and he was with people his own age, and he was missing out on that creative play. And so we gathered up all his favorite stuffed animals, and I just started to talk to Teddy as if I were the bear or whatnot. And he started to, you know, come alive and get connected with his little stuffed animals. And we made a cozy corner in his bedroom where he set up his stuffed animals and his pillows. And I put a bunch of books out, and it became a special spot where he could kind of go and read and feel like he can talk to his friends. You know, it worked for that time when we really weren't, where he wasn't able to connect with people in person. Now that we're able to see people more, I'm looking at getting just like a younger middle school, or excuse me, high school type student to come and be his learning buddy and read with him and help him with his spelling, and just kind of bring some variety to his learning experience.
It's a good idea. I had the pleasure of being read to in his cozy corner with his stuffed animals. It was very sweet. He was so endeared by it all, you know. He loved that little. Does he still have it up?
We moved it. He has a tent now, and so.
Oh, nice.
That's good, yeah. Though. You got to keep it. Right. You got to switch it up every couple months.
Yeah, that'll happen for sure at our house. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We've got more Child Whisper coming up right after this brief message.
Knowing your type and your child's type changes everything, doesn't it? It helps you to understand one another better. It can help your outside too. When you wear clothes that express your type, you feel better, you look better, and people understand you more easily, including your kids. Carol Tuttle created the Dressing Your Truth program to help you dress true to your type and create a personal style that expresses who you really are. The best part? You can learn all the basics for free. Start loving how you look and feel at dressingyourtruth.com.
A type 2 child is our sensitive child, and they lead with an emotional connection to our world, and they have a more soft, relaxed, the word calm comes up, but they're not always calm, so that parents misunderstand that and think they can get loud, they can be throw fits, they're not
sneaky,
calm all the time,
causing trouble.
They have a when they are in balance, their presence is calming to others. They have a need for connection, and they're aware of details in the bigger picture and what's all the details playing out without necessarily making you aware of that. There's a lot they're taking in, and there's a lot that they take in emotionally that can cause stress. And so a type 2 child, when the family is more together and more at home, and they're in a position now to learn from a home experience. They may not let you know till it's gone too far, and now they're stressed and they're crying and whining and difficult, because they have to be taught how to verbalize what they're feeling and that they're starting to feel pressure and misunderstood or overlooked. And you both have type 2 children, and you are a type 2 yourself. So just knowing that nature of a type 2 child, what adaptations have you made?
I think it, because of that connected nature, kind of like the same as type 1, but for different needs, needing to be a little bit closer as a parent to like be reassuring, like, I'm here, let's get started on your work, let's go through, but can also be a challenge because of that slow movement. And you might just want to be like, let's just dive into it now and get it done and just go do it by yourself. So Jenny, why don't you share what you've done with Neil? And kind of maybe talk about the challenges that you had.
He's second grade. Yeah.
He'll be third.
Third grade.
Yeah, just listening to your opener about the movement of a type 2 child. So I was just soaking it in and learning, because I've got a lot to learn with how to communicate and work with his personality, because it just a couple funny stories. When you said that they need to be taught how to use their words, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because our oldest will say, I'm going to talk in Neil language. And he'll just mock him. And I think, and then he'll run out of the room. He'll run out of the room. And I'm like, come on. Like, I'm just demonstrating his communication pattern.
No, that's Sam. The other day was reaching up on the counter. I said specifically to Sam, I said, I don't know what you need right now, because I don't hear any words. Use your words. That's something I've had to teach him a lot. Use your words. Use your words. Obviously, yeah. I could tell he wanted the water bottle, but I'm not going to respond to that, or that's the behavior I'll continue to get.
Well, Neil's in it. When you have a type 2 child that is sort of the middle child, that's another little bit of a It creates a little more complexity in that they now have these siblings on both sides. Yeah. Then that overlooked.
Yeah.
And,
definitely.
And like not as independent as their older siblings, because they just take a little more time to develop that kind of confidence.
And that
in who they are.
Because, my husband will stop and he'll go to him and he'll talk and he'll take the time to connect. And to just say, tell me how you feel. And so I've been trying to follow that example, and to tell the big brothers to back off and give them a space. It's something I'm trying to teach all my kids. Give each other space to be. Space to be who they are and to change, Anyway, so with...
How's he adapted to learning at home? How's that going for him?
With learning at home... I was really wanting him to do certain things at a certain time, and he became overwhelmed and just turned into kind of a floppy fish and, I can't do it. I can't do this. I don't want to do this, and really stressed. And so it was a really, really difficult experience for me. And I just was so fed up, because I'm like, I know you can do this, but you just won't. And you refuse to. So
and that is a trait, especially his secondary is a 4. And when they feel either strong about something or so pushed and overwhelmed, they don't budge.
It's like that cow in the middle of the road.
Yeah, they're like, they're not moving.
It's so funny because Jenny said Neil gets like floppy fish, and my type 2 will do the same thing where he just flops on the ground. We call him Dead Man Sam because he won't move a muscle.
like do learning everything. All these.
I know, I'm curious for
you saying about your kids.
You listeners out there, you have type 2s who do that where it's just like.
Make sure not to move it into a shaming experience for them.
Well, now he thinks it's funny because then he literally can't move any muscle in his body. So that's where we like try to make it a game to like move him through it a little bit faster.
So, okay.
But it's, yeah, that you, just like.
Back to Jenny's experience, he was not responding favorably, cooperatively.
Well, I realized that I was setting him up for a stressful experience and saying, just putting that pressure on him, as soon as he felt that stress, he just disengaged and he just felt defeated immediately. And so what I'm going to try to do this coming learning year is have him have a 1 hour set aside, whether that's 1 hour of, you know, straight or 2 30-minute blocks, where I say to the other kids, I'm working with Neil now, don't interrupt me, and make sure they have something else to do. It's our time. And then if that time goes to him learning, great. If it goes to him showing me stuff, great. But I'm going to start the year off.
So that's creating the connection he needs.
Yeah. I'm going to start the year off with, this is what I want him to do, and have that in mind. But if he needs to maybe just have that time to connect with me, I think he'll be successful. Not only over time, as we get together, he'll be more apt to do what I'm asking him to do during that mommy and Neil time. But then I think he'll also have that connection that he's seeking. So when it's not me and him, he can be more independent and kind of go forward having that cup filled.
Well, that, you know, so that little bit of connection, that the return of investment in it is huge, because he will feel supported now and be individually motivated.
That's what would be.
It's not like you need to connect with them constantly. You might do 15 minutes some days.
There we go.
And I'd encourage, for you being a type one, not to make it too regimented, and say, you know, anywhere from even 10 to 20, 30 minute blocks.
Okay.
Feeds a need they have that has a huge return of them not needing it anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they don't need it all the time. It's just like nourishment for their being. Mm-hmm.
And him even hearing you say to the other children, this is my time with Neil. I think that
make sure he hears you say that.
Okay. This is mommy and Neil time.
And last year, actually, guess what we did do? We played a lot of games together, where he has these big squashmallows or something, and we'd play hot potato. And it was so delightful for him and for me to just connect playing these simple games. So we did have that last year. I just need to now pull that type of feeling and connection into our learning time, so that the stress can be kind of extinguished. And because what happens is he gets that whininess, and I just want to go just get away from it. It's so
feels heavy
repulsive.
To you.
I'm like, oh,
well,
go away.
And so remember, so should I, you know, this is a great reminder for a parent of a type two, by giving them that connection time, that 10, 15, 20 minutes, I'm actually going to use less energy in that than if I don't do it and have to deal with the side
constancy
effects.
Of the
wonderful. The side effects reminder. Are going to be more draining. They're going to be require more of me. Yeah, do I really want to deal with that? And so that small time connection is, and I'm just hearing that. I mean, I know when I talk to him individually, he just lights up to have kind of the spotlight on him. You know?
Yes,
and that's where, you know, being a sibling, a type two, they do feel like they don't get that that connection time. They're part
That's
of
right.
the group, you know.
One more tip for type two is, obviously, we love that connection of plan. And so how can they connect with the plan at a detailed, smaller scale, and also at a bigger scale? Do they have like their own personal desk calendar? I think that would be really cool. A little day planner. Do they know what's...
Well, get them anything they can use that's a device or an electronic gadget.
Cool gadgets. Now, Jenny,
track things and
Neil,
plan things.
When I talked with Neil earlier this week, he came and said he had found an old computer. Is that... And he sounded really excited about that. Is that something that he's going to be using in his homeschooling? Or have you seen this...
Well, yeah, the thing I've reflected on, Anne and I have had some conversations about these things. And last year I was just like, okay, we're having homeschool. So I interpreted that as school, like school normally is at home. So I set up a classroom and made everything as if I were the teacher. And we'll talk about this later in more detail. But then I quickly realized that that doesn't work very well. It's home, and then you're
I've heard people say, like, do not try to replicate school at school like homeschool is not school at home, basically. That's right. It looks very different. And the learning curves you must have experienced over this year, Jenny, I'm sure have been tremendous. So
yeah, they have. And I think what Anne pointed out, she said, do you have your kids involved in the planning, especially for your type two? And I was like, no. And it's happened this year, and they set up their own little space in their desk, and
they want their learning space then.
Yeah, we still have some planning and organizing to do, but it'll be neat to see what it's like to give them more ownership in terms of those details, smaller details.
The more you can give your child the responsibility with your support and then it takes it off of you.
The more they own it.
I'm also thinking, you know, your boys all have tablets and they have their Kindles. What apps could you get on those that are like task oriented and tracking things and have, you know, Neil loves that.
That's a good idea.
Anything that's like, you know, device and electronic. Yeah. And I'm sure there are apps for children that are like daily reminders and.
Well, you know, the watch you got him.
Uh-huh.
He's been using that for, it has a little calendar on it and a timer. And so I'll let him use that.
Yeah. And then if you can find an app where he has to the day before, you know, maybe put in what he has to accomplish that week or the next day in his schooling, then he gets to go in and, you know, he has to program it in.
Good idea.
And put it in the app. So he's using his writing skills. And the spelling, and then he gets to go back into it and check it off. I mean,
I think he would love that.
I manage my life.
I know. Look at what you do as far as but I just know type twos really, they like.
No, I'm saying, as a type two. Like,
you're blending this ability of them to create a plan, follow through on their plan with, in his case, and I would think it might be more the case of type two boys, but maybe not. Maybe type two girls would also like those they like devices. They like gadgets. They like
even more than, you know, narrowing it down to like gadgets, but letting a type two pick their own binder. I loved school shopping. I loved getting my desk set up, a little pencil organizer, my own little pencil sharpener. Like all creating, like all getting all things. Those little things, and hopefully it won't wear off, but I think it would. The excitement of creating your own space and giving yourself that responsibility.
Those are all details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then maybe you could say there's something that they really, really want. You know, a particular pencil box, or maybe they can continue to work for those things.
Doing their homeschool, by doing what they're expected to do throughout the day,
right.
And then, of course, making sure they have a cozy spot or, you know, they're feeling comfortable in the location that they're at. And they, you know, even have a special maybe homeschool buddy stuffed animal set or something. Just you're thinking about how can I create that connection to that space and to their learning.
Uh-huh. Great ideas.
You know what? I think I'm going to try this time. Speaking of gear and gadgets and things. Neil always has his binoculars with him, maybe a walkie-talkie, a compass. He's always like
so to Sam. All
set up for, you know, adventure. And so those things can be a really big distraction because he'll always have his pockets full when he comes for learning time. So I think I'll have a basket where he can put them in there. And then maybe with like a fruit snack or something also in the basket and say, okay, as soon as we're done with this 20 minutes of math or whatever, you can have your stuff back. Plus this snack. I think I might try that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've found like, so we have a bag that we take to church with a few little toys in it and they only get it at church. And so I would take the homeschool or the school things and be like, you only get this during that time. So it just creates a little bit more of a special quality and that's what it's associated with.
Okay.
And actually Sam yesterday said, why does everyone still always take my stuff? And his type 3 2-year-old brother always takes his toys. And if we're being,
good, he's got the trade so, of don't take my stuff.
Yeah, so Jenny actually did this with her type 4 and created a box called Seth Specials. And so yesterday I created a bin called Sam Specials, and he can take it out when Roy naps, and it's stuff that only he can play with. So
yeah,
anyways, just speaking to that, like creating their own little things that can come really special and they connect with then that home learning time.
Yeah. Your weekly parenting practice is to examine your own approach to your type 1 or type 2 child, or maybe you've learned some things about yourself as a type 1 or a type 2 parent that you can modify. What one thing can you switch up that's going to be more honoring of their nature or your nature to create a more successful at-home learning experience? Thanks for listening. For more support, go to thechildwhisperer.com where you can purchase the book, subscribe to our weekly parenting practice email, and find a transcription and audio of the Child Whisperer podcast.
If you're listening on iTunes, thank you for leaving a review. If you have a parenting question, please send it to parenting@liveyourtruth.com.